the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, season 408, episode 2 in 2026. And we come to you off the back of last night's Community Series game. And Kingy already has a pen and paper out to edit stuff out of this podcast
I wish I could edit something out of last night's broadcast.
Unacceptable, yes, Kingy.
Why would you have to be so immature to use a player's surname?
I love immaturity.
Can you just refresh us with what you...
Well, Kingy's man, his number one man, is Jay... I call him James Polking. He used to play for Hawthorn, didn't he? Yes, Jay...
Brisbane, and then I think he became a top-up player at Essendon during the drug scandal. That's yes. James Polkinghorne. And then you had David Polkinghorne, who played for Hawthorn.
For Hawthorn, number 10, I think, for the Hawks back in the day.
I
think he may have. But Jay Polkinghorne plays for the Cats. And Kingy's on to Jay Polkinghorne even before he'd set foot at the Cats. He really liked him. And he got the ball last night. And I suggested that Kingy may have had a bit of a Polkinghorne, which is the best sort of horn to have, isn't it? It's a Polkinghorne. I have to say, Kingy, look, I'm not being super critical. Well, I am. But he's a young player, but he's miles away from it.
He's miles away. He's not even 20.
No. And he's got to... What he really needs to do is to add more tricks to the bag. Because he's a one-trick pony. He's a good mark. But if he's not marking the ball, he lacks a bit of agility. And he's not quick. We saw him last night. I suggested he was the equivalent of an asthmatic ant. I don't know whether he was very tight in that passage of play, but he could hardly move. He has to, and this is the reason why Ollie Henry's probably gone out of the side last year, is because he doesn't have enough tricks in the bag. Now, I know he's worked on it, and we saw last night, and I'm only guessing here, but if you looked at the GPS meters of Ollie Henry last night as opposed to Polkinghorne, Henry's would have been off the charts. Now, Henry didn't have a huge influence, but he was around the ball a lot. He made a few mistakes late in the game, but he was around it a lot, so his work rate was there. Now, Polkinghorne has to get that, and he will. He's only young, as you say. But I'd be very, very surprised if he plays senior footy this year, off what I saw last night.
I think he'll play at some stage.
I don't. Not if Stengel comes back, and you've got Martin, you've got Ollie Henry, you've got Dangerfield, you've got Myers, you've got Close. Now, Close was in witness protection last night. You've got five blokes ahead of him. If Geelong are in the mix, if we're in the finals mix, which I hope they are... Yeah. Polkinghorne's not getting a game. If Geelong proverbially something happens on the sheets.
Poop the bed.
Shit the bed. He may get a game. But if they're in the finals hunt, on what I have seen last night, I don't think he has so far to go, which, as you would expect, as a young player. So I'm not saying he can't get there, but he's not in the mix right now.
Yeah. The Cats will tell you that behind, what they're looking at in terms of what they want for outfoot for players, Brad Close consistently provides.
Right. He had one effective disposal last night, I think.
And he didn't... I wouldn't say his 2025 was a great year.
No, he's seemingly sort of on the decline. And is that at the expense because other players are playing a similar type role, doing more than him?
Manner.
Dangerfield's gone forward?
Yep. Well, I think the emergence of Manor, I think, hurt Brad Close.
Yeah.
Whereas, like the move of Dangerfield forward hurt Ollie Henry.
Yes. And Martin, getting Martin.
Yep.
And their preference of playing Martin.
Yep.
Yeah, has hurt. That's certainly hurt Ollie Henry. But if you had said to someone 3 years ago that Brad Close was a candidate to be out of the side, you probably would have suggested that they'd just come off a fresh frontal lobotomy, wouldn't you? If you're saying that now, I think most Cat fans are saying, yeah, I can see him getting dropped. I could see him not being part of the team round one. I don't think that'll happen, but I could see if he has 3 weeks where he's poor, by round four he's in the twos.
Yep.
I can see that. Yep. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
A couple of weeks. Shannon Neal, I have spoken to the club and asked if they'd be putting out an update on Shannon Neal injury-wise. They're of the opinion there won't be an update because they're not concerned of anything. It's nothing more sinister than what we first got told, that it's a bruise shin.
Right, so going on the Cats' history, that means he'll be out for 2 years. He'll miss the best part of 2 years, and you've heard it first, old Gary.
If it's Brad Otten's.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I look, I know I say it all the time. We've got to take them on face value. We can't challenge them because we don't have access to the scans or anything like that, if it scanned at all.
Well, lying is their second language in AFL clubs.
Correct.
If anybody was watching the... Now, we didn't have access last night to any replays.
No.
So Dave, our esteemed technician, who's been pushing the buttons at the back of the box since Jesus slotted that goal after the siren to beat Mount Sinai in an absolute thriller.
Well, I actually think Dave was there when Marconi invented the wireless.
I think he might have been
He was standing in the room next door, and he missed out on getting the credit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that
would have been the Marconi Collins.
Right.
But it's just Marconi.
Yeah. Wasn't that a soccer team?
In Sydney.
Yes.
Yep.
So he found the vision. So if you haven't seen it, this is when Chad O'Neill gets injured. He goes up in the ruck, and then he sprints off the ruck. There's no need to put timestamps down. Nothing there is going to offend anyone. If they're offended, get them to contact me directly, and I will talk them through it. So Neil goes up in the ruck, and then he sprints away from the ruck contest completely unhindered. His gait looks fine.
People are trying to say it happened in a ruck contest. It didn't happen in a ruck contest.
Well, unless there was some sort of delayed reaction to it. He sprints away from the contest straight towards Carlton's goal, and then somehow... 8 seconds after that contest in the middle, he is grassy knolled. So it was very odd. And then we had Birchie on the bench, and he came to the bench and was literally right in front of her.
Yep.
Like, I'm tipping 4 metres away.
Yep.
And she was saying they looked to be looking at sort of maybe the knee and the lower part of the knee on the top of the shin.
Yep.
And then there was vision and photos of him, which we saw, of him seemingly holding the back of his knee, looking at the back of his knee. So, and then within, it was very odd, do they normally put out, was that text you were saying, the shin problem?
Yep.
Was that from the Cats?
Yep.
And that was...
And that's a usual...
Is that what they normally do?
...thing that happens.
And are they normally, do they fudge stuff with that?
No, it's usually fairly...
If it had come through and said his shoulder's gone...
Yeah, then we would have been asking some questions.
Anyway, let's hope it's not too bad. He did, as you pointed out, he did go out onto the ground after the game to shake hands with the Carlton players. He was moving like he'd had an overdose of laxatives, though. Hadn't he? He was very, very sore in whatever the issue was. So he'd have to be in some doubt to play Gold Coast.
Yep.
And Cameron's in doubt.
Yes.
Can we just run through, for the listeners, Kingy, the... sort of injury updates and the likelihoods for the Gold Coast.
We tried to get Andrew Mackie to do it,
and he
wasn't going to get involved.
So Grian Myers?
I don't think he plays. I suspect we won't see him till after the bye. So
Jeremy Cameron?
If I was putting odds on it, I reckon he's 75-25 to play.
Reece Stanley?
Nah.
Bailey Smith?
I don't know enough about it. Because it happened last week. I think he'll play.
Okay.
And Bowes was the other
one. So you think Cameron and Smith probably play?
Yep.
But Myers doesn't play.
I don't think Myers plays. And I think you'll find that Blitzarve's deconing. If there's anybody debuting next week, it could be Edwards.
Bowes? Mitch Edwards is not debuting next week. You might as well have me in the ruck.
How tall are you again, Ben?
I had to fight with my doctor. I told him I was 178.
Which you are nowhere near because I'm 178.
He poo-hooed me.
Yes, and he should be.
Well, yeah.
Well, unless you were standing on the...
he made me get up against the wall.
If you were standing on the A to K Melbourne pages from 1983, you're 178 centimetres. But you weren't.
No. And... Well, I was... I said... He made me get up against the wall and put the measuring tape up, and he said I was 174. And... He told me I was fat. So I went and got a second opinion.
Can I take
you know the great Rodney Dangerfield line with all that? When he went to the doctor and the doctor said he was fat and he goes, I want to get a second opinion. So I did and the doctor said you're ugly as well.
Can I also take
nice
you to
one,
task?
Nice one,
boom.
What?
Can I take you to task?
On?
You're wearing a Peter Pub shirt.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Don't you wear that if it's
like I could not swim out of sight on a dark night.
Right.
I would sink. I would be some sort of fodder.
Especially how fat you are, apparently.
Yeah, I would be some sort of fodder for a being on the bottom of the ocean if I was doing the Peter Pub. No, I get the Peter Pub shirt every year.
Mm.
It's a rort. It's an absolute rort. So a good friend of mine is the sergeant in Lawn,
yep.
And he gets them.
Mm.
But he's a little bit more portly than I am. He doesn't fit into them, so he ushers it down to me every year, and I've got about the last 4 years in the cupboard.
Yeah. And never swum in one.
Never even been there when it's on. So, which is good.
Free t-shirt.
We love rorts, don't we, King?
It's only a rort.
If you're not involved. Yes. And I am involved in this rort. So we'll talk about Mitch Edwards. I was talking about your friend Polking Horn, and Mitch Edwards, it was very funny last night. He looked tired sort of 3 minutes into the game, and he got tighter as the game went on. And then late in the game, he got snapped in half by Mark Pitney. Yeah. And the siren went, and I'm sure Mitch thought, oh, thank God, that's over. I'm absolutely stuffed. He was probably thinking, I might sneak in a little cheeseburger on the way home at Altona, which he couldn't do because of the thing. I went to launch into a burger, and I got poo-hoo. There was cones out. There was lights. There was all sorts of stuff. You couldn't get off onto the Macca's there at Altona. But so he would have thought, well, I've finished here, thank God. And then the physio came out and said, hang on, Mitch, you got to do some more running after the game. Mm. So he started his running, had to do from square to square across the wings.
And the degree of difficulty?
It started off okay because when he started, there was nobody on the ground. Then they let the kids on the ground, and there was one kid who started doing the wind sprints with Mitch Edwards, and he was about 11, and he had him covered. The first wind, but he actually beat him. Mm. So Mitch was stuffed. He was absolutely stuffed, and he played like he was stuffed. And it was a great learning experience for him. He's miles away from senior football. He's a couple of years away from playing senior
football. But at least he got a bit of that. So he didn't disgrace himself. He's had 11 disposals, 20 hit-outs,
yeah,
a couple of clearances, took a mark.
If we're playing him in the ruck, we're in a whole lot of trouble. If we're playing Sam DeConing in the ruck, we are in a whole lot of trouble.
So who's your... is Blitz?
Well, do you know what, King? Just watching that game last night, okay, and people will say you can't read too much into a practice match, and I get that. When Sam DeConing was in the ruck, after the game, Mark Pitney was escorted to his car by the police and charged with murder. He murdered him. He's just not physical enough, Sam DeConing. No. He doesn't like the ruck. He doesn't want to jump, bang into someone. And with these rules where you can't just dance at the start and bang into each other after the ball goes up, he's cooked.
Yep.
He just doesn't. It's not his go. We played DeConing in the ruck, and we had Mark Blitzarves up forward. Now, Mark Blitzarves up forward in a practice match didn't touch the ball in a quarter and a half. No. The only time he touched the ball was when they took Sam DeConing out of the ruck and put Blitzarves in the ruck. Yep. And the other thing about all that, Kingy, is that when Shannon Neal went into the ruck, I've always said this, he likes crashing into someone. He went into the center. He went into the ruck for four centre clearances,
and
Geelong won three of them. He was involved in one, streaming out of the middle. He shanked the kick, but he was like Max Holmes out of the middle. He likes the physical stuff. He's your second ruckman if you want to play a second ruckman, yep, if he hasn't done his knee.
Yes.
Do not play Sam DeConing in the ruck. Play Blitzarves in the ruck. At worst, Stanley if you're desperate.
Yep.
Blitzarves in the ruck. DeConing is a key defender alongside Connor O'Sullivan. Yeah, because Connor O'Sullivan is ready to become one of the elite intercept defenders in the game. Don't have him on the number one player. I mean, they always try and fashion Harris Andrews onto the bunny so that he can intercept. Now, Harris Andrews, you know, the other clubs will try and get their best player onto him. You know, there's always Darks and Drakes played. But DeConing could be your lockdown key defender.
Yep.
That's his go. That allows O'Sullivan then, you've got Henry to play as your second tall, because
yep,
he can play taller. And then you've got O'Sullivan as, I reckon, a really rangy player who can be an intercept player. Yep. He's got an unbelievable tank. He's got good hands. He reads the game. He does not have a fault in his game.
Yep.
And he's had two, I know it's only third year, but he's ready to become a top five intercept player in the comp, yep, I reckon. But you have to allow him to do it by fashioning where the position that he plays. And if he's got DeConing in the ruck, that you're one short in defence in terms of a tall option. I just don't see this continued theme of having to play Sam DeConing in the ruck. Just, it does my head in, Kingy. It does my head in.
Tanner Bruin played like a man who hadn't played for 12 months.
He was really good, particularly in the first half. I think he had 17 touches in the first half, 27 for the game. He petered out a little bit after half time, but it was hard to sort of, with the unlimited rotations, it was hard to keep track of game time for all the players.
So he played 70%.
Okay, how much did Manor play?
Manor played 73%.
So it was interesting that Manor was doing sprints after the game as well on the ground. How much did Edwards play?
Edwards played 54%.
Yeah, well, that's probably... Well, God, he was cool. He was stuffed up, only playing 54%. So he had to do some sprints. George Stevens was the other one that was doing some running on the ground after the game.
He had... time on ground for him was 40%.
Yeah, he had limited in the second half, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Second and third quarters, I don't think he played much. He seemed to play a lot in the first and fourth.
Yep.
So he was also running, and he had that same kid that was running wind sprints with Mitch Edwards. Then once Mitch Edwards hit the showers, he went over and started running with George Stevens, who's slow as treacle, but still had the kid covered.
But George also, though...
Talked to him.
Was talking to him.
Yeah.
High-fived him at the end.
I think he was talking him through this wind sprint.
Yeah, which way I'm going to run, all that sort of... That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Still scratching your head at why Jed Buse did not play.
Look, Kingy, we don't want to go off half-cock, because did he have an injury? Did he have a little niggle? We can only hope. I always thought it was a bit disrespectful to Jed Buse. You've got a... Well, how many games he played?
175.
Was he 30? One?
Two this year.
Yeah, okay, so some will say that's irrelevant. He's been a good servant to your footy club for a long period of time. He's been... I would have suggested, if you said he was quite a competent player, you wouldn't be off the mark. To have him play, he didn't play, to have him suit up, run out in a game where there's 26 players and unlimited rotations, and you've had the twos play prior in a curtain raiser, and then to not give him 1 minute, I don't know if you're treating your people that well doing that. And then to suggest after the game, we heard Birchie say that James Kelly said it was a structural thing in a home game, when Andrew Mackie told us that it was nothing really about the opposition, it was just about getting things right. I mean, Tom Stewart played the whole game. Did he need to play the whole game? I mean, he's 34 or something and had played in the State of Origin game. Couldn't you have taken Tom Stewart off? Couldn't you have taken Jack Henry off, who'd played really well? I don't think you needed to see too much more out of Jack Henry.
So Tom Stewart turns 33 next week, next month, and he played 85% game time.
So you could have... How many minutes did Jack Henry play?
Jack Henry played... Time on ground percentage for Jack Henry was 85.
So you can't tell me that for a quarter and a half you couldn't have taken Tom Stewart off, said, I've seen enough, or taken Jack Henry off and said, I've seen enough. Give Jed Buse a quarter and a half. Just let him find his feet. Game time, valuable game time. So if they had no intention of playing him, why didn't they play him in the twos?
Yeah, yes.
I thought it was a really, really bad look for the club.
The only thing I can think of, Ben...
Yes. Is, you're going to dig deep here, aren't you?
The only thing I can think of is I look at who played in the VFL, and none of those guys other than... So I think everybody on that list are uncapped, so zero games. And most of them draftees, so Mellor, Driscoll among those, the Irishman, Burke, Hoffman, Jake Colajasny, Jake Colajasny just needed to play unfettered at VFL.
So does Jed.
Hang on. Let me finish what I'm going to say. Geelong had to take 26 players into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was something not right with Jed, but he just happened to have to be the player. Because I actually watched Jed run out, and he wasn't moving freely.
Well, let's hope that's the case.
Yeah,
Did you ask Mac about that? Did you say, can you explain to me why Jed Buse didn't play 1 minute?
No, it was a very quick conversation about Shannon Neal. And move on. But no, I wasn't even thinking he'd ask about Jed Buse. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that Jed's not 100%, and that he just basically was, we need to field 26 players in this game, and he sat on the bench.
Well, and if that's the case, and yeah, that's clear.
But I looked at Buse when he was running a couple of times.
And he didn't look good.
And he's never looked... the most fluent mover.
Oh, he's not too bad.
But he's not, but you know, he's not.
He's not.
He's not Max Holmes.
No, he's not Sophia Loren. She was a good mover, wasn't she?
You're an idiot.
Remember Bo Derek in 10 on the beach?
Yes. Right.
She was an extraordinary mover, wasn't she? There was a lot of moving parts,
sorry,
weren't there?
Ben.
Yes, Tom.
So Jed Buse. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he has hurt himself in the warm-up or similar.
Right.
Or he's come in with something and they've just gone, mate, we just need you to sit.
Well, that's your homework, Tom.
Yeah.
Can you find out? Because if that's the case, that's fine.
Yeah.
If he has sustained some sort of minor injury and that's what's happened, that is absolutely fine. If that's not the case, then we have reason to be sort of questioning what the hell is going on.
Yes, and that's our job.
So can you please find out and report back?
I'll see what I can get back.
If you can.
Do you reckon they're going to give me a...
Well, I mean, it's shared views. We're not talking about Jerry Cameron F for 6 weeks. No. Why wouldn't they just say... And it clears the club of any sort of, you know, how you're going.
Yeah.
If they say, look, you got to cop the little niggle in the warm-up. We just didn't want to risk it, so we didn't play him. Jed would have known that. That's fine.
Yeah.
To just leave it and then have a... Could you remember... Do you think any other club in the history of the competition has ever put out 26 players in a practice game and made one bloke sit on the bench for the entire game?
No. Tells me there's more to it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, find out, Tom.
I will.
Can you find out?
James Warple's performance?
James Warple's performance was...
21 disposals, 6 clearances, 5 tackles.
He was okay. He's your...
Is he playing next week?
He's your meat and potatoes, man. He's not a filet mignon.
And he did say that after the game, that he's your lamb chop and two veg rather than, you know, your wagyu, as you like to say. Because he said, I've got to play a distributor. I've got to go and find the footy, and I'm giving it to Bailey and Max.
Yeah.
And letting them
do it. He's your meat and potatoes, but he plays a role. He needs to be... he can win a clearance. He's reasonably strong, hold himself up in a tackle. He needs to be a defensive presence alongside Tommy Atkins.
Yes.
As a tackling sort of defensive type midfielder.
Talking about blokes who look like they haven't missed a beat. Atkins.
Yeah, he did. He was good. He had 27 and 10 tackles, I think. Yeah. And 7 clearances, did he?
Yep.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. He looks like he's had a good preseason, and he's you know, he's going to continue on. I mean, you know what to expect, and they're the players that you love. You know what to expect from someone like Tom Atkins. Now, Warple, I think you're going to know what to expect from. He's going to be a 20 possession, hopefully 4 clearance, 8 tackle player.
Yep.
He's not a skillful player. He's not going to hit Blake's lace out. He's probably not going to kick you too many goals. But he provides you with a little bit of grunt, and he's not slow. I'm not suggesting he's gout, but he doesn't have gout. He's reasonably quick, and I think a player who is going to be who's a cross between James Warple and Bailey Smith is Tanner Bruin.
Yep,
probably got a little bit more class than James Warple.
Yes,
is a tough presence around the ball.
Well, he spent more time at halfback last night than he did.
Well, I don't think that'll happen as the season unfolds.
That's where he's been training.
Yeah, well, why are we doing that? Why do we love to put blokes out of position? Anyway, we've got Stewart. We've got
Guthrie.
We've got Mark O'Connor. Mm. We've got Jack Henry.
Mullen.
We've got Lawson Humphreys. We've got Mullen. We've got O'Sullivan. We've got De Koning.
Well, is that because De Koning's playing up? Are they going to persist with De Koning?
We've got enough players to do that. We're getting we got absolutely sizzled in the midfield in the grand final. That's our area of concern, is the midfield. You've got a midfielder who was a first round draft pick, and you want to play him at half back where we already have players. Can you explain that to me, Tom? Like, succinctly, in a fashion where I will be able to understand it. Somebody as stupid as I am.
So stupid that you can't even put your phone back on silent.
No, well...
You're silent, Ben.
I'm on silent, King. I'm usually on silent everywhere I go, but...
not silent.
So, Bruin, I think Bruin can be a little bit of both. And he showed last night that he's in pretty good nick. He's had a good preseason. So, Warple and Bruin as... extra dimension in the midfield will add something.
Thought Mullen did some nice things last night.
Yeah, he got a little... How many possessions did he have?
He had 13.
Yeah.
He needs to get that to 18.
Yeah.
If he's getting 18 possessions a game, because he uses the footy pretty well.
He goes short. He knows his limitations. Yeah. I like that. He does kick the ball short, and he knows that he's not a good long kick. He does need to... I'd like to see him use... get into positions where he can use his speed, because we hear the players talk about how quick he is, but you hardly ever see it. So that's about, you know, finding his rhythm as an offensive type player. Hopefully that comes. Look, yes, last night was a small step in the right direction. He's not a lock round one.
Oh, I think he's playing round one.
I don't think he is, but I'm not saying he won't, but I think if you think he's a lock, I think we're in trouble.
Okay.
So was he going to play as a tagger?
Well, potentially. Does he go to a Noah Anderson or somebody like that?
Well, possibly, but that my point there is, and I said this last night, that is if his tag doesn't work, he's cooked because, you know, he's a liability.
Are we doing a podcast before next
Friday? Yeah, well, of course we are, Tom. We're like...
Who are we doing it for again?
Kerr's Hire for John and Jim.
Hello, Jared.
Jared, yes, we're doing it for... Oh, is it...
There's no races.
No, that's Caulfield.
Replays.
Yeah, no, we are. We'll do one before next week, Kingy. We'll have plenty to talk about. The team will come out on
Thursday,
so we won't quite have the team out. But we're
flying Friday.
Well, we'll have information on Shannon Neal.
Because Chris Scott will face the media, I believe.
When's he doing that?
Tuesday.
Okay, will you be there front and square?
Yes.
What?
Even though it's my golf day.
Oh, God. What are you going to do, Zoom in? You're going to be on the Zoom on the 16th green? Is that how you're going to do?
Just putting for triple bogey, probably.
You're going to just have three stabs for a triple?
Yeah.
Huh? Are you one of these golfers that are you sure you're not one of these golfers?
What?
Are you sure? Are you sure? What's your handicap, Kingy, these days?
I'm playing off 21.
21?
Yeah.
You're a bandit, so you get two shots on three holes, 1-3.
Yeah, on the index, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now at Port Arlington, it's the 14th, the 10th, the 14th, and the 15th.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I try and go off, on a Saturday, you try and go off the 10th.
Did they reckon the guy played with you last week that you yelled four, took six.
Right down.
Five. Is that right?
I had 36 points last year, so yeah, I was happy with that.
Oh, that's good, Kingy.
And I finished 1-1-1 and had two wipes.
You had a what?
I had two wipes.
A wipe?
I had a wipe. Right.
I had a wipe once.
Yeah, let's go. Anyway, predictions for any round zero debutants?
No.
None.
If Edwards and Polkinghorne are playing... Warpole's not a debutant. Well, a debutant for the Cats. Yeah. If you're talking about a debutant as in never have played AFL before, no. They're miles away from that, those two.
Right. Your guess on the ranking at the club... This is Dudas Maximus.
Yes.
Of the top five speedsters and endurance beasts.
All right.
Okay, so the endurance beasts are Blitzarves.
Yes, one.
Myers.
Two.
Shannon Neal. Neal is an endurance beast. Three.
Ollie Dempsey.
Yep.
I'm just trying to look. Who else... I can't see the team, so...
I think you'll find Jack Henry's actually got pretty good endurance.
Yeah, I don't think he's at that level. Like, he's good, but I don't think he's quite... Yeah. Those four are pretty elite.
Yeah.
So we're talking... Yeah, Blitzarves is one. Hot on his hammer is Myers.
Yeah.
Dempsey has a very big tank.
Yeah.
And Shannon Neal, we're led to believe, has quite a big tank for a big bloke, which is quite extraordinary.
Well, he was a very good 800-metre runner.
Who else have we got there, Kingy?
I don't think we're going to get much...
They're probably the top four.
Yeah, you're not playing... beyond much more than that in terms of real elite.
I think Bailey Smith is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So they'd probably be five?
Actually, I'll tell you the other bloke that actually, and you might not believe, Jeremy Cameron's tank is actually...
I was going to say him. I think he's a little bit older now, so he's probably not quite in that company, but he has that wiry type frame.
Yep.
And yeah, he does have a pretty big tank.
Yep. And then the speedsters, well, Holmes.
Well, Holmes is one.
Mullen.
Mullen is we're led to believe. We don't see it that often, I mentioned that, but he is apparently very quick. And you know the irony there? The other one there is Shannon Neal.
Yeah.
He's the full package,
yeah,
Kingy.
Yeah.
He's like Bo Derek.
Patrick Dangerfield over...
Over a very short distance.
10, 15.
Yeah, he's explosive. Quick. I don't know, over 50 or 100. I think he'd probably start to knock up. But
after that...
There's no one else that's elite speed.
No. Dempsey's not slow.
No, he's not super quick, though. I mean, you're looking at your Holmes is clearly the best. Then you've got Mullen. And it's hard to believe, isn't it, that Shannon Neal could be top in the top percentile for both endurance speed at 200... And, what is he? 200 centimetres.
Yeah, 203, I think he is.
And he's got a beautiful kicking technique. I know Daz loves him. Daz absolutely loves him.
He does. Yeah, all the way over there in Burbank.
Yeah, Burbank.
Yep.
Love a bit of Burbank. Is that in California?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's in LA, suburb of LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They're the only ones off Big Footy this week. So we will have a more expansive episode next week going into opening round against the Gold Coast, Ben.
We have Kingy. We'll be as regular as the Avon lady.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.